Hi, Barry. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm pretty well, thank you, Lysander.
Okay. First off, I want to thank you very much for already giving us your time the other night, and want to apologize for the technical problems that occurred and that we have to do part of this over again.
These things happen, and being in TV, I know how things can go wrong. The slightest thing can throw off a whole shoot. Not a problem.
Okay, well, I guess we'll begin then. First of all, what is your history with television and or media and journalism in general?
Well, I do have a lifelong record. I hope it's a track record as opposed to a criminal record in the media, because I did start out about the age of 16 working on a weekly newspaper in Manitoba, in Russell, Manitoba. And I have then subsequently worked on daily newspapers as a reporter and an editor. And I was bureau chief of the Globe and Mail's Hamilton Bureau for a year. As a matter of fact, I'd forgotten that. And then did own my own publications, Content Magazine, was a journalism review, which I purchased and edited and published for about 7 years. And I started the Sources Directory. I founded the Sources Directory of News Media Contacts, which I published for 20 or so years. And I did get into radio and TV as an interviewer and commentator. And then I've been doing my own editing, too, in television increasingly. So I have had the privilege of experiencing many kinds of media. I've also been on the receiving end, of course, being interviewed in print and on radio and TV. So I'm privileged to have sat in so many different seats, getting different perspectives on the media, which is very good for a person who's a media critic.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, given your experience with the media, what are your thoughts on the way the corporate media functions in general?
Well, excuse me. Well, it's been getting worse and worse. That is, a number of years ago, say in the 70s and then the 80s, and it was in the 80s that we had the Kent Royal Commission on newspapers. It was in the 70s when we had the so-called Davy Committee report. That was the report of the Special Senate Committee on Mass Media. Those were two major studies in Canada of the media, and they brought to light many problems, not the least of which was the ownership, private-for-profit ownership of an increasing proportion of the media. So this has just continued to get worse and worse. I seemed to feel myself that when Conrad Black took over the Southam chain, it was a low point, and I was wondering how much worse it could get, and yet it has even gotten worse. As far as concentration is concerned, and as far as the nature of the ownership is concerned, for instance, Izzy Asper of CanWest Global just seems to have no knowledge or tradition of journalism, how even a modicum of how it should be practiced without fear or favor. We're so far from that it's most disturbing.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I just wanted to say that also, as an addition to that, a perfect example is Ben Bagdikian's book, The Media Monopoly, that every time it comes out in a new edition, the ownership has shrunk and shrunk into a smaller number of hands every time it's published.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Regrettably, it's an incontrovertible measure of the growing concentration, and that also involves cross-ownership, that is ownership by single owners such as Rupert Murdoch of newspapers, radio, and TV, and having an internet presence also. The infamous convergence doesn't work as well as a business model as they were hoping, but it certainly works as where you can have de facto censorship across platforms. Very worrying.
Okay. What led you to start questioning the official version of the events of 9/11 and the way the corporate media was handling it?
Well, I don't think probably any of us, or certainly I shouldn't speak on behalf of other people, but I would just dare to say that most of us who were immediately suspicious as to what really happened on September 11th had some sort of a background of having reason for suspicion of the establishment to begin with. And in my case, it really goes back to my upbringing in the home of a progressive United Church minister, and so I experienced the McCarthyist era as a youngster, and then the whole Cold War era as a young adult and an older adult, and all throughout the Vietnam War period and so forth. I was always on the outside of the establishment. I was always opposed to all those things. I was opposed to McCarthyism, opposed to the nuclear arms chase, and opposed to the Vietnam War, and so on. So that you get a track record, if you will, or a history of having deep and well-founded suspicions that the establishment is up to no good. And so it's within that field of prejudgment that then something like 9/11 comes along. Most people have a different field of prejudgment. It's a field that, incredibly, is naive and trusting of leaders. Even though there's a lot of anti-government rhetoric around, there are those who still essentially trust the government. I think it's because they don't connect their rhetoric with particulars. That's the problem.
I see. Well, then, I guess your original skepticism was born out of your critical mind, or...
Well, I hope that I inherited a critical outlook. I did. I was taught that. My dad said, follow the truth wherever it may lead. And as I say, he was a man of the cloth. He was a clergyman. And he obviously believed in God. And I then came to the point at quite an early age when I could not believe in God myself. It wasn't that I wanted not to. It's just that I couldn't go on believing. I must have had a critical mind at that point. By the way, this never caused a rupture between my dad and I, because he was really, really a most generous soul, and had a huge perspective. And as far as specifically journalism is concerned, because I was in journalism and I was not critical of journalism to begin with. I guess I was one of those who saw journalism idealistically as a way to help to bring about change in society, benign change. And I, however, after spending many years in the media, and specifically the turning point for me was during the Vietnam War, when I was marching with my wife and our two kids who were then small in an anti-Vietnam War parade down University Avenue in Toronto. And as we passed the U.S. consulate, there was this row of people that consisted of officials and policemen and reporters, all chatting and laughing back and forth among one another in a very cozy way. And among them was one of my fellow reporters from the Globe and Mail. And it was a real flash of revelation for me how closely so many of us who were in the media were allied with the establishment. And I was angry at that moment, and I thought, that guy should be down here among us protesters, this wonderful, wonderful group of all ages and colors and races. There were professors and housewives and students, and he, there were many, any one of us could have given that reporter great quotes as to why we were there and why it mattered, passionate intelligence quotes, and yet he was up there wasting his time just laughing and joking with Mounties. So it was that really was a turning point for me.